A friend of mine found himself riding his bicycle in Dallas, Texas back last September, and the ride was uneventful until a particular moment. And as he's riding his bicycle, all of a sudden the front tire of his bike was caught in the rut in the road. And before he knew it, he was thrown over his bicycle, landing on his head, tearing his face, destroying his right hand, and being changed forever. When they got him to the hospital, they realized that here was a young man who just the bleeding in his brain alone could cost him his life. Well, you can imagine for his wife what she felt. As he told me the story just recently of the details of what transpired, it was amazing to hear the dedication of his wife. For after the initial trauma, the doctor said to the wife and the mother of his two daughters, one of which had just got married, the doctor said to the wife, at any moment, what has accumulated in his brain may cost him his life. That dedicated wife and mom, she could have lost it at that point. She could have emotionally been so overwhelmed she didn't know how to respond. She could have found herself not even knowing what to say. But instead, she dedicated herself to caring for her husband, to helping him. The doctor said to him, your hand that obviously you've held your Bible with, that you've written your notes with, may never work again. Your hand is destroyed by that one rut in the road. And then one day he's looking at his face and he realizes they've done nothing to fix what's transpired. And so him, being mesmerized by what's transpired in his own life, finally asked the doctors. And the doctors begin to tell him that we only told your wife that you could die at any moment. We didn't want you thinking about it every moment. I want you to imagine for a second. Here is a wife who has spent more than 25 years dedicated to her marriage as well as to her children. And every night during those weeks, she would lay down beside him, realizing that in one single moment, he could be gone. That if that clotting and all that was transpiring, rain, that blood had accumulated, if anything ruptures from it, then it would be gone. His life would be over. Well, as he walked into the doctor's office, he said, I want to ask you, why have you not fixed my face? And they began to tell him, well, the reality is that your wife knew. And he began to recount in his own mind how many amazing ways that he'd been loved by someone, taking care of him, knowing that every moment could be the last moment. And what I want you to see today is this. When it comes to the life that God has given us, today we look at what it means to be blessed by life and to be looking for Jesus. Because the reality is that on this day, we come to celebrate what it is that God does in the lives of those who choose to be blessed in life the right way by God's direction. I read an article this week where a guy was writing about a company posting that had been posted on the internet, and it was from a director of operation position. It was posted online and in newspapers. 2.7 million people saw the ad, but only 24 replied. In the article, the requirements and benefits that were identified were these: 135 plus hours each week of work, no breaks, preferred degrees, medicine, finance, and culinary arts, no vacation, workload increases during the holidays, no pay. It doesn't take you long to figure out who the guy, the director of operations, is describing. He's describing a mother, because I have watched it this week as vividly as I have in years. To be honest with you, I've ridden rides I haven't ridden in 30 years this week. But I watched as mothers took responsibility to watch over those that have been entrusted to them. I also watched what any little child can do to the most dedicated mom, can take them over the edge in a million ways. I saw more mad moms than I have in years in one day, because those little children God's entrusted them also have a mind of their own, and yet there's a blessing that they have that God's given them. And today we look in the Bible at the story of a lady who obviously had family, but she knew she needed more. If you open your Bible to Acts chapter 16, we find the story of a lady who had been blessed in life, but she was still looking for something. In other words, she had something going for her, and yet she still needed that extra push to carry her forward. In fact, when you look at it, it's a story of a lady who her name is acknowledged only in a place where we see another man following God's plan to be blessed by God. And it's a missionary journey that finds Paul encountering Lydia. And we find ourselves looking, if you would, beginning in verse 13, because I want to show you something that perhaps you might miss. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. Now stop right there and get this picture for a second. They've gone into a pagan city, Philippi. They have gone there and they realize that if they can meet somebody who has an interest in what it is that God's up to, then it might open the door for something powerful to happen. Well, they come to this riverside and they know something too. They know that these ladies, that at different places, ladies would gather. They gather together in prayer. They gather together in recognition of what it is they're looking for. And so the Bible says that they had gathered on this riverside, and as they gathered there, the Bible begins to speak to one particular lady. Look at it, verse 14. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Now, when you read this, you see a couple things very significant very quickly. First of all, this is a lady who did not grow up at Philippi. She grew up at Thyatira. So let's get an idea of what she grew up with. Turn your Bible back to Revelation chapter 2. Hang a right back there, and let's just get an understanding of this place that was a part of her story that obviously she needed more. Revelation chapter 2. And you're familiar with the churches that are written to by Jesus in the book of Revelation, but I want to just kind of show you what she encountered in this particular place. And then I want to show you today three distinctive things that when someone is blessed in life but chooses to follow Jesus, what happens in their life. And my prayer is that whether you're a man or woman in this room, you'll realize that Lydia's story is one of the most amazing stories. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of her deed. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds." Verse 24, "But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and his vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, when you read this, here's what you get. Just kind of summarize it. Here is a lady who is born into a place where they had, as a part of their city, a very profitable model that all connected into purple. And purple always represented royalty. It always represented value and significance. And this particular dye they used was found in Thyatira, so they ended up being very commercial. So what does Lydia do? Lydia takes her world and moves it to Philippi, realizing it's a great place to make a living. And yet at the same time, I want you to see something, because when you think about it for a moment, here is a lady who the greatest blessing she needed, money couldn't buy. And I want you to think about it in regard to your own life today. What are your greatest blessings that money can't buy? What are the things that you hang on to? You go, this is from God, that money could never buy. What price do you put on peace that passes understanding. What price do you put on love? What price do you put on faith that allows you to trust Him? Knowing that anything not of faith is sin, and knowing that with faith all things are possible. You can imagine nothing could be bought like that. And what happens is, here's Lydia. She's living and she's blessed, but she's still looking. And today I want you to think about in your own life, what great blessings you have. What things that you look back on, you know what, that's a blessing from God. That's something He has brought into my life. One of the things that happens to me every time I walk into this building is I think about the blessing of us gathering together as a family, celebrating who He is, celebrating what it is He wants to do in our life. And today we have blessings that money could never buy. But then you start thinking about in your own life. You begin to ask yourself, the Bible says that they gathered on the Sabbath on that riverside, and they gathered to try to figure out how life works. In other words, they came together every week and said, okay, what do you think? How do we do this? What do you think about that? And the reality is there was the missing ingredient, because listen carefully, you can try to figure out life any way you want to, but you keep Jesus out of the formula and you just have a more complicated formula. That's what happens. And so here all of a sudden they gather together, and there's a different morning than any other morning, because on this morning somebody's going to show up that changes their lives forever. And what happens is she is listening and experiencing what God intends. So today I want you to see three distinctive things that might inspire you. And what I want you to think about today, as you think about this particular text, is no matter how blessed you are, you need to keep looking for Jesus. No matter how many things come your way, always look to the author and finisher of your faith, because it's in Him that all fullness dwells. It's in Him that you find the answer. So here is Lydia, and Lydia obviously is prosperous, she's obviously blessed. In fact, her house is big enough that all those who are traveling with Paul and him can stay in it. How many of you could host 15 people in your house and feed them? Be quite a host, wouldn't it? Be quite a few folks that would be hanging out there. And yet, what happens is that all of a sudden, this story unfolds, and I want you to see it succinctly, because I realize that on this day, it's not just Mother's Day that we're talking about. Today we're talking about what happens when a woman recognizes that she has been blessed in life, but that blessing drives her to look for Jesus. Look at verse 14 with me if you would, because I want you to see what happens. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. You can't miss that word. She was listening, and here's what I want you to see. The first thing I want you to grab hold of and grab and take away from here on this day is this. And here was a lady who was not afraid to work, but she was also wise enough to watch. She was working and watching in life. And what I want you to see is this. When you have an assignment in life to dedicate yourself to that task, is to dedicate yourself knowing that as you work, you are watching to see where God's going to direct you. And what happens with Lydia is, here's what transpires. She's making money. She's being prosperous. But she's also watching for what it is that God has for her. And I want you to think about today, when you look at it, it's really interesting, because there's some things you see about her life that are written in these verses that, if you really think about it, are very obvious. First of all, she was blessed by diligence. Here is a lady who was not afraid to do what it took to make it happen. And let me tell you one of the things I admire the most about this generation of women. There are women who have dedicated their lives to being diligent. I think about in this room. I have friends in this room that taught school for 40 years, who practiced law, who invested in their children, who did different things. They were diligent. And what happens is, here's Lydia, and she is absolutely a diligent seeker of God. But she wasn't just blessed by diligence, because the Bible says that she was worshiping God. And what you discover here is this. She was looking for an answer, knowing that only God could meet it. And what I want you to see is this. You can look for an answer anywhere you want to, but it only comes in the reality of God at work in us that we have the privilege of being able to experience a personal relationship. And that personal relationship is what she looked for. In other words, she did not want a relationship that was just, hey, God's way over there somewhere. She wanted a God who lived inside of her. And I want you to imagine for a moment, here you are, and you're sitting in church, and you start beginning to think about this Lydia, and you go, wait a minute now. She was diligent, and yet at the same time, she had a desire to worship. And it's interesting when you look at that word worship there, because what it carries with it is this idea that nothing distracts you from ultimately recognizing who God is. Can you imagine worshiping that way? Can you imagine worshiping where you knew it's God at work? But there's a third quality I want you to see about her. As she was working, as she was watching, she was listening. She was listening. And you think about it for a moment. I mean, think about it. Here she is listening for God. Have you ever had a time when you were praying about something and you couldn't hear as clearly as you needed to? I mean, you were wanting the Lord to direct you. You waited for Him. You sought Him out. And you waited to hear Him speak. And you were listening. And yet, at the same time, the chatter, watch this, the chatter of your conflict, the chatter of your challenge was louder than the still small voice that spoke to you. And as a result, you found yourself not being able to hear as clearly as you needed to. And here's what I want you to see. Lydia, in her mind, had these amazing thoughts that there could be a God who not only would know her, but would love her. And in loving her, would guide her. And in guiding her, would give her hope. I mean, she came from a place where the pagan aspect of Thyatira was so great that it was obvious that she could end up struggling and being able to understand who God was and who God is. But today I want you to think about what it'd be like if you just got told by the Lord, just be quiet. Come away to a quiet place and rest a while and hear God speak. But not only was she willing to work and watch and see what it is that God had, but if you look at verse 14 and following into verse 15, he says, "And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urges, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.'" When you read this, you realize that here is a place where as she was hearing, she was yielding. And when I think about the importance of yielded lives, what does it mean to yield? It means to recognize that you're not in charge, but God is. And you yield to that. And here she is, she's listening, and she's all of a sudden realizing something. You know what? This is what it is God has for me. And it's something that begins to become personal. And what you discover very quickly is this. If you come into His house without understanding how to yield, then it's impossible to experience what He intended. And what happens here is, here's Lydia. And Lydia's living her life connected distinctively to the only thing she has known, and that is you work hard and you experience what it is that life gives you. But then beyond her work, there was that empty spot in her heart where she wanted to experience God. She wanted to experience what He had for her life. And so when you think about this, think about what transpires. First of all, she opened her heart. And you know, to open your heart means you say, "Lord, you know what? I trust You. I trust You and open myself up." You ever been around a closed spirit person? I mean, somebody who said, "Nope, you're not going to ever get in. You're never going to get to know me the way that you'd like to." I want you to see something very distinctive on this day. What made Lydia end up being blessed in life and open her heart up to Jesus was she had an open spirit. In other words, she said, "You know what? I'm not going to operate on my term. I'm going to operate with a recognition." Watch this. With a recognition that as I open myself up, something amazing begins to happen. Have you ever talked to someone that after a little while, they begin to tell you their real story? I mean, how many people you met that you walked up to and say, "How you doing?" And they say, "Oh, I'm horrible and life is really difficult and I've got all kinds of challenges, but thanks for asking." I mean, people don't do that, do they? What most people do, what do they do? You walk up to and say, "How you doing?" "Oh, fine." Fine is a good way of saying, "You're never going to know me." Because what happens oftentimes, we do have challenges. We do have things that come at us. And she opened her heart up. But not only that, she not only just opened her heart, but she had a choice. She had to respond either in obedience or disobedience. She could have said, "I want what it is God has, or I'll miss it." Imagine for a moment, here you are. You open yourself up and you say, "Lord, you know what? I'm going to obey no matter what. I'm going to obey." Now, imagine here's a lady who she already controlled the market for purple material in Philippi. She already had access to all the resource. And yet she still decided to respond in obedience. Obedience is not easy. She comes to a place where she makes the choice to obey. And it is a willful choice she makes. And what you need to see today is, as she makes this choice to obey, something impacted her life. Because the Bible says she immediately was baptized. She was impacted by her faith. She was impacted by what had happened in her life. She made a choice to follow, and it made a difference forever. I want you to imagine for a moment you're sitting here at church and you realize something. Wait a minute now. If I just make the choice to follow and obey, I can experience that. And the Bible goes on to say that after she gets right with God, she says to them, in fact, look at how she says it. Verse 15, these are her recorded words. If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. Now, imagine for a moment, here's somebody who had just come into a right relationship with Jesus, who modeled commitment immediately. And it tells you something. I don't want you to miss this. The Bible says that old things pass away, all things become new. In Christ, all things are new. And what happens is Lydia, watch this. Lydia not only gives her heart to Jesus, she opens her house and says, man, if you really think I got it, then you hang out with me. You stay with me. And what I want you to see is this. Hospitality is a way to model commitment. It's a way to welcome somebody into your world. Here's what I want you to see. As you think about this lady named Lydia, she comes to a place where she keeps working, but she's watching. But she's not just that. She's also come to a place where she's willing to yield. All of a sudden, she's willing to start hearing and yielding. Then one final thing I want you to see as we wrap together this look at this beautiful lady's life. When you look at verse 40 of this particular text, you realize her name is called one more time. Look at it with me if you would. Verse 40. The scripture says, they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they saw their brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Now, obviously you know that they get thrown in jail and they get rescued out of jail, Paul and Silas. But you think about this lady named Lydia. And it's interesting because you know what you see? Here's a lady who is waiting and affirming that these are God's men. They're waiting and affirming. She's waiting and affirming what it is that she's seen. And what you think about as you look at this today, I mean, here in verse 40, she didn't know how long they'd be in jail. But I want you to see something very distinctive. She was at the right place. And not only was she at the right place, she knew the right relationships to have. And those right relationships opened the door for her to be able to have the right kind of encouragement. My mom was 58, lost without Jesus, trying to find her way. She'd been introduced to religion, but never to a relationship. And religion had driven her so far away. My sweet mom realized something, that the missing link of her life was Jesus. My sweet mom is on the latter stages of life. Been blessed to have her all these years of my journey. And every time I pick up the phone and it's her, I realize it's a treasure given to me by God. But the greatest treasure is not that she's about to be 86. The greatest treasure was at 58 she said yes to Jesus. And it changed our lives forever. And it changed her life forever. If you're here today and you may be wondering, how do I take the blessings of life and choose to follow Jesus? It's interesting because here's what Lydia models. There's nothing wrong whatsoever with being blessed. Nothing. God chooses to bless us. But our blessings are all an expression of the love that He has for us. And if you're here and you've never given your heart to Him, I want to invite you to do so. If you're here and you've never been a part of a family, you'd like to be a part of a family, what a great day to make that choice. At One Heart, we welcome and open our altar up to you. If God's speaking to you, we'd like to help you find your way and find that it's better to know Jesus and follow Him than just to be blessed in life. But when you are blessed, you're blessed for a reason. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your amazing presence in our lives. Thank You for being in Your house on this day. Lord, we feel Your presence. We sense Your Spirit. We yield and acknowledge Your goodness and Your greatness. Lord, and I think about our choice that we would be found faithful. Lord, if there's someone here who needs to know You, may You speak to their heart. If there's someone here who needs to become a part of our family, would You speak to their heart? Whatever it is, Lord, we entrust it to You and we lift this up to You in Jesus' name. Amen.